has been an awakening. Have you felt it?
This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at TheHollywoodOutsider.com. We have a new episode every Thursday. This is episode 168, and this week we are discussing upcoming releases, including Exodus, Gods and Kings, Top 5, and Inherent Vice. We're going to discuss that new Star Wars trailer. I bet nobody's sick of hearing about Star Wars. And also the Jurassic World trailer. Spoiler-free review of Horrible Bosses 2, our From the Outside In topic this week. Swords and Sandals films. Are we still entertained?
Did you just say swords?
Yeah, you
just
pronounce a W.
Did I?
S-words.
Yeah,
you said
swords. S-words
for 500. Swords and Sandals. After the show... All of you go to hell. After the show, we'll talk about that Walking Dead mid-season finale for all you deadheads. Latest in movie and TV news, including our own trivia segments. My name is Aaron Peterson. I will be your host, kind of like a prettier Chris Hardwick. And joining me today are my fellow hoes. He occasionally watches movies while he's waiting for his games to load. Scotty Clark.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good.
Well, these days it takes so long. I got plenty of time to watch a flick.
That's
in between.
True. New current gen takes forever.
It does.
His new novel, A Minor Magic.
Oh, God, especially the first time you bring it home. Mm-hmm. You load it in, then it's, okay, got to wait an hour.
Or
gotta
two.
Wait for to install and then update.
What is that about? It's supposed to be like faster and prettier and cooler.
Well, if you flip it on every week, it's fine. But if you take like a 2 or 3 month hiatus, then it takes...
Oh, you mean every day, Scott, if you're speaking about yourself.
Yeah.
Want to try again?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, when do we get to me? God damn it. We've been between finishing with Scott and getting to me. It's been like 28 minutes.
His new novel, A Broken Magic... releases this month, and it's not about his love life. Justin McCumber.
Oh, God. If people only heard all this stuff, that doesn't make it in the show.
You'd be surprised. A lot of this might make it in. Our very own Rick Grimes, because you know he's a guy who would actually hit you with his car if you don't stop when he says, Brian Williams.
Spoiler.
Hey, I asked.
That's true. How's that introduction for you? Does that work?
Well, it's timely enough, I can tell you that.
How was everybody's week off? Good week off?
It was glorious.
Because all
I
you did
forgot,
was play.
I was sitting here for like an hour waiting to record. And
no, you
I
weren't.
Having internet
Brian, you have
again.
Never been here an hour early, ever.
No, I wasn't here an hour early. I was here on time, but I sat here for an hour waiting on everybody. I forgot, you know.
It is a first for everything.
Quiet. I just figured we were having internet problems.
This is how we usually feel when you come on.
Oh,
that hurt.
That was below the belt. That one. Ooh.
He lives in a remote area where they don't have internets.
We pump in sunshine.
Shitter's full. What?
I spent my holiday just catching up on all the TV and movies that I had just kind of let slide.
Like what?
Like Arrow, I am now completely up to date on Arrow, which then allowed me to start watching The Flash. So I'm up on that. Caught up on all the Constantine, Grimm, Sleepy Hollow that had been stacking up. So, yeah, I spent a goodly amount of time sitting in front of my television.
Did you wear a diaper?
I can get up and walk to the bathroom.
I don't know. It seems like a break.
Or I could just piddle in the floor like my dogs.
Did anybody, like, get ready for the new Hobbit or any of that? By doing, like, kind of Lord of the Rings extended marathon insanity?
No, I've seen the first one about 4 or 5 times, so I figure I'm good.
I did watch the extended edition for Desolation of Smaug and then some of the supplemental material for that over that week, too. So, no, I feel like I'm pretty prepared.
You feel good?
Yeah, there's a lot more of Smaug in that extended edition than you got in the theatrical cut.
Did you see that?
It felt that way.
So there's more Cumberbatch is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
songs.
That's never a bad thing.
Did you see that he's teasing right now that he might revisit Middle-earth? The cast members have been hinting maybe he's going to do the Silmarillion or whatever.
Do what?
The Silmarillion, the other...
There's another book?
Just Just stop.
Well, he built her from the Silmarillion for these Hobbit movies. Just stop. You did three for The Hobbit. You did three for Lord of the Rings. Let it stand.
That's right. Let's move on. Let somebody else ruin it. That's what's going to happen.
Let it go.
Oh, let it go. No, don't do it.
Maybe they can reboot Narnia now.
Thanks to those of you that did your shopping through our Amazon link on the website. That does help pay for the show's bills. I have no idea how much, but I know some people did. So eventually we'll find out, I suppose. A couple things that came up like before the show started was Kickboxer is getting a remake, like the old Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Mm-hmm. And apparently now they're going to invite Jean-Claude Van Damme to be in the movie as the mentor, where he was the student the first time.
Is he going to do the splits?
He's got the butt splits. He has
to. You kind of have to, don't you?
It's required by law. Van Damme law. Murphy's
Van Damme.
I just
want him to do the crazy eyes like he does in Bloodsport.
Oh, where he goes He makes that sound like his head's going to explode?
Yeah.
I missed
it. Of course,
that. My
eyes bulging out of my head just now didn't translate very well over your car
we
speakers.
We heard it. But... We felt it.
Okay, good.
My eyes are still vibrating from trying it.
They should really reboot or restart Bloodsport more than Kickboxer. I think Bloodsport's a movie most people think of when they think of Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That's what I was thinking, too.
That's his greatest cinematic masterpiece as far as I'm concerned.
Wait, what? How do you figure?
I just liked it better than the other crap he did.
Did you see Hard Target? That's all I'm saying.
Did you see The Quest?
I unfortunately
did you see that mullet? His mullet in that movie.
Should have gotten an acting
and
award.
Cage's mullet and Con Air should have a fight.
Like a cage match.
A mullet cage match.
That would be fantastic.
I'm pretty sure I know who would win that.
I don't know, but what do they win? Like a hair tie? Or what do they get? What's the prize? A bunny?
I think the winner gets put down, too, just to be safe.
A bunny.
Some jorts.
No, some jean shorts. Don't bring up jean shorts. It makes Scott very angry. He only found out recently that they're not in style anymore.
Recently? That was like 4 years ago.
Yeah, but, man, you carried that around like anger.
Whoa. Now, are we talking about jeans that were – are we talking about cutoffs?
No, they were made –
denim shorts?
They like had a little carpenter loop that you put the hammer in and all that kind of stuff.
But they were
don't
short.
Don't listen to them, Scott. Those will never go out of style.
False.
Oh yes, Scott. They have.
Oh, he wants you to look silly. Also, Source Code 2 is in the works. Do you guys remember that one, the Jake Gyllenhaal movie? Is there a reason to make a sequel to that?
Goodness.
God, no.
Source Code had a pretty definitive ending.
Yeah.
Wasn't the movie kind of its own sequel upon sequel upon sequel?
It was, pretty much. Yeah.
Is it the...
It's kind of like putting two mirrors in front of each other just kind of goes on and on.
Oh, wait, Source Code is the one on the train?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I was confusing that with Eagle Eye. I was like, okay, yeah, gotcha.
The Shia LaBeouf movie?
Yeah.
Big difference.
I realize that now.
One is still a good actor. One is apparently getting molested.
One is ripped as hell.
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw a Southpaw clip.
Holy hell. I never would have known that was him.
He went to the gym like at least twice.
He's been following... Wolverine's regiment, apparently.
47 chicken breasts and a push-up.
One push-up?
Every minute. Okay, we're going to go into Star Wars. There is, I'm sure some of you that are probably sick to death of hearing about Star Wars because it came out the end of last week, I believe. And we had time off, so we haven't had time to talk about it. So we're going to talk about the Star Wars teaser. If you want to go ahead and skip ahead, if Justin talks 15 minutes, the rest of us talk maybe 5. And then you wanted to listen to it. But we're going to talk about it because this is honestly the most downloaded trailer, I think, ever, which is saying something since there's really not a lot there. I think it's 88 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
88 seconds. There's this trailer and then that crappy Al Pacino movie. So we're going to talk about
that. That was minutes, though.
That was minutes. Good call. We're going to talk about what we saw. So first off, Scott, what did you think when you first watched this trailer? There's... not a whole lot shown, but how did you feel when it was over?
Well, like you said, it's really short. And it's pretty much the definition of a teaser trailer. It just kind of gives you small glimpses in beat with the music, you know, the little bumps and whatever from the other movies. I love the trailer. I loved how it got me pumped up for Star Wars without giving me too much information. You know what I mean?
Did it feel like a total nostalgia bump? Because that's kind of what I got out of it.
It did. I mean, some of the shots almost seemed... exactly, like especially like the snow speeder shots where they have the inside of the cockpit.
What?
Land speeder.
Those are X-wings.
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 Whatever.
Hitch your fucking Star Wars technology and ships correct.
Well, at least we got one of those guys here. That's good. Continues, yeah.
Yes, the X-Wing fighter. It was like the exact same perspective angle that they did in the X-Wings and the Snowspeeders. So super nostalgic, but they also threw in a couple new things by taking nostalgic things and giving them a little bit of spin, mm-hmm. which some of them I like, some of them I don't know if I like yet because I'm not seeing how they're implemented, but it's pretty much exactly what I wanted in a teaser trailer for Star Wars. Granted, the movie's not coming out till
next December.
December, right? So we have a year.
Yep.
That seems like so long ago, long to go now. But I want to be able to say that, yeah, that's all I need to see. I'm not going to watch another trailer. I find it hard to believe that I'm not going to be able to watch the next trailer that comes
out. There's no way.
There's just no.
All these uber nerds that are running around, I'm done. I'm not going to see nothing else until. Lies.
Well, there's something to be said about walking into that movie, because yeah, I know I'm going to see it. There's absolutely no doubt I'm not going to see it in the theater. Just to be able to walk in and just be blown away and amazed by whatever it is, mm-hmm. or disappointed, hopefully the former. But I don't know. But most of all, what excites me most about this is that we're not getting just one, not two, but we're going to get – we have three of these to look forward to in the next few years. I just – that's so cool. Am I alone in this? I'm assuming.
Justin, go ahead.
What?
Are you excited?
I'm excited. Well, fuck yeah. I mean, it's the first glimpse we've had after, you know, a bunch of pictures and some rumors and some distant shots. It's, you know, we finally get to see some of these things in motion. It is the epitome of a teaser trailer because the most we get are fleeting glances at some locations, some characters, and some ships, but we get, you know, not a single image or clue about Luke, Leia, Han, nothing about Chewbacca, nothing with R2-D2 or C-3PO. So there's a lot of major characters that we saw nothing of, so many other things we didn't see. So it is a huge teaser, but what they did give us was, I thought, really exciting. I don't think I really could have been more pleased with how it looks insofar as the direction goes. I think Abrams, who has, you know, admitted many times that he is much more of a Star Wars fan than he ever could have been of Star Trek, and I think that shows in this trailer. It looks fantastic. My favorite bit, though, really seems to be the thing that so many other geeks were hating on, and that's the I'm assuming that it was a Sith Inquisitor that we saw at the end of that teaser, and with the almost Claymore type length of lightsaber he used with that cross guard at the top of the handle. I don't know why people are bitching so hard and heavy about it. Does it look as cool as Darth Maul's double-ended lightsaber revealed in that trailer? No. But is it still fucking cool and was it unexpected? I think so. And I would really love to see how that type of lightsaber is going to match up against, you know, the more traditional lightsabers that we've seen in the previous films. But all in all, yeah, I'm really excited. And I'm kind of with Scott. I wish like hell that I could avoid future trailers. I know I probably don't have that kind of willpower. But I really wish I could, because I do want to go in as unknowing as possible. But still, I want to see a glimpse of our main heroes.
Yep.
I don't. I'm actually glad that I didn't see Han and Leia. And to me, okay, the whole trailer, I like the trailer. It's very, it gets you going, I'm pumped for it. Well, sort of Phantom Menace, honestly. But, you know, just hearing the music really gets you motivated for it. I don't want the whole trailer to be nostalgic. I wanted to see new stuff. I already know they're going to be in it. I think they actually did the movie a service by not having them in it, because it's not 100% just nostalgia. There's already a bunch of stuff in there to remind the Millennium Falcon's in there. You know, you see Tatooine. I mean, all that stuff's in there, and I think that's plenty. That's really all you need. If you see the characters, and I just think that's too much. I think they need.
That's all you needed.
No, I think that's what everybody needed.
I just said that's not what I needed. I don't want 100% nostalgia. I want to see mostly new stuff too, but just a fleeting glance of Han or Luke. I think would have given me a bigger thrill than seeing the Millennium Falcon did.
For me, showing the Millennium Falcon kind of says we're grouped all these people that you're familiar with into one. Mm-hmm. You know this is in there. You know who's flying it. You know who's co-piloting it. Luke's always riding in back, you know, and Leia's right there between Chewie and Han. So they're all, you know, the gang's all in there. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In a way, they show them, but without directly showing. I liked it. I'm with Aaron. We're literally 1 year away. I don't want too much right now.
It's going to be marketed to hell.
Yeah, the toys will be coming out in a week, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I didn't like a lightsaber either. Not because of, I don't know. Some people were complaining about some random stuff, but I just thought it's dumb looking. Because all I keep thinking is you're going to cut your own penis off when you're swinging that thing around. You got the cross guard.
Specific, but
you got lasers.
Why are you swinging the lightsaber on your dick?
That's just, you're trying to be cool. They do that. They're swinging that thing around. And then next thing you know, you got to pick your Johnson up off the floor. And I don't think that seems like a very safe plan.
Hey, most people kind of hope they could pick their Johnson off the floor.
Well, you did notice in the trailer.
By the time you get one of these, you're trained enough to handle one of those.
There's random, random lasers poking out.
I don't think by the time somebody gets a driver's license, they are trained enough to use a car, but there's plenty of people out there who's not.
So exactly. We're comparing cars.
Yeah,
young
Jedi penises Jedi everywhere. Okay. That's what's going to happen. Appendages everywhere. What were you going to say, Scott?
What I really liked though is how untamed that lightsaber looked.
How what?
Untamed. It didn't have that solid cylindrical look that previous lightsabers have had. When I watch it, the blade seems much more wavery, like the energy is just surging back and forth through it. It kind of gave it almost a fiery kind of look to me, and I really
Jesus Christ, you really analyzed this trailer, didn't you?
I've probably seen it a good 2 dozen times at least. Yes, it's Star Wars is my DNA.
Did you see any penises laying around?
I didn't. But you should look harder. Look again.
Well, let me throw in my 2 cents too with the claymore action, whatever. You notice in the trailer that when he fired the main blade of the lightsaber up, it was just that, and the mm-hmm. two came off right after that, like a split mm-hmm. second later. So one could surmise that they don't both have to be on at all times. Maybe there's a trigger.
That's not my problem.
No, wait. Let me finish. Maybe there's a chance that you can have the blade on and then have the two on a different mechanism on the lightsaber.
Yeah. You got a button that turns it on, and you got another button that adds on the attachments.
Right. With that said, in this scene, the character which we assume is the villain, mm-hmm. and because he's got a red lightsaber, obviously, and he's got the hood and everything, he's walking through the forest, and he's obviously in a defensive stance. He's getting ready because someone's coming towards him. Perhaps those two things on the side are a thing that you use only during defense. When you're flinging it around near your dick, then you turn them off.
Fair enough.
All right. You went a long way for that one. I got to applaud you, my friend.
It's a good argument. It's the best argument I've heard for it yet. I haven't heard one person mention that it could be turned off outside of that. So there you go.
Yeah.
There's something. I still think somebody's losing a penis, but I guess if
he
you
may
have,
not have one. You don't
it's
know
true.
This
Maybe
anymore.
He's a eunuch. Well, I don't know.
You become more machine than man.
He gets a boner and it just got the little things inside like in Luke's arm. They go, bam, 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 bam.
Oh, that's funny.
Is that your lightsaber or your penis? Which one's making that noise?
Is there anything else you guys want? There's some people were complaining about a black stormtrooper, and I don't think they meant it like in a racial way. It was something to do with because of
Jango
the
Fett
Clone
was...
War. Yeah, Jango Fett and the Clone Wars. I don't understand this argument. Is there really an argument here? Or is this...
everybody thought that the stormtroopers were all descendants of Jango Fett, who was Hispanic in the film, mm-hmm. right? But from what I've...
Polynesian.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Polynesian. So, but from what I've read, is that they were all the clones themselves. The clones are not stormtroopers. The clones were all killed off at the end of Episode 3. Am I right, Justin?
my understanding has been that the initial stormtroopers that were used were mostly made up of the Jango Fett clones. Mm-hmm. But as time went on and those died, no new clones were made. And so people either volunteered or they were conscripted into the Imperial Stormtrooper Force.
Ah, okay, that makes sense.
So can we get like Jango Fett shooting stuff, you know, pew pew, and then just going, the D is silent?
And I think technically he's now
such an idiot.
That would be kind of cool.
The Jango Fett.
Jango Fett.
All right. So I take it we're done. We're good with this.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you guys want to talk about this teaser and the internet sensation? It created some of the best memes I've seen on the internet in a long time.
George Lucas version of the trailer. Oh, God.
The George Lucas special edition.
It was really good. The Lego one was really good.
Lego was really good. There's the one, the J.J. Abrams version where it's all lens flares. That was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. That joke never gets old.
Aww. Does your butt hurt?
Aww. Somebody's got a little chafed ass.
Lame.
No, it was funny as hell.
Fucking
funny
lame.
As hell.
The funny thing about those is how quickly they came out.
Yeah.
It was like in 12 hours that those videos were out that for editing.
Yeah, there's some guy at his mom's basement just working overtime, mm-hmm. cranking that. The Lego one was the next morning.
Yeah.
And it was shot for shot for shot. They even did a comparison. I'm like, go to bed.
Well,
go outside.
You know they were sitting up waiting like all night.
Oh, yeah.
They had
their
set out, ready to go, storyboarding that out, everything like that.
And I am thankful to Disney that they actually released it online as opposed to doing a bootleg version as they were going to do that limited theater thing, which mm-hmm. I thought was a really dumb idea. So I'm glad that they did that. They did that.
Stupid.
But how cool did it feel to see the Millennium Falcon doing loops and the zoom in and zoom out of it.
That part was fantastic.
Oh, it just got me so giddy and made me feel like a kid inside watching that. I've seen it not nearly as many times as Justin, but multiple times, and every time that doesn't get old. I cannot wait to see it on the big screen.
The meme that my brother sent me where it's like, yo, I got saber so I can saber while I saber. I almost peed myself just from that one meme. So, Brad, if you're listening.
The Swiss Army saber picture was really funny.
What's that?
The Swiss Army.
The picture that had looked like almost like a Swiss Army knife version of the lightsaber with the little bottle opener and corkscrew.
So
all
good.
All those attachments hanging off the lightsaber.
You got to admit, even though some of it's a little hateful, there is some hate out there, which I don't get. I did get excited for it. I think it's a fun trailer.
Yeah, fuck them.
But there was some really creative stuff on the internet was fantastic for like 3 days. Unless you hated Star Wars, in which case it sucked. Okay, well, we're not going to be spoiling the recent Walking Dead mid-season finale here. That's at the very, very end of the show, so skip to the end if you want to hear that. But we are going to revisit the great spoiler debate. So AMC got themselves into a lot of hot water because they posted a huge spoiler for that particular finale on their Facebook page before the show even aired on the West Coast and in foreign countries. I mean, it was a picture of what happens, and then it basically said what happened. It was a really bad, bad plan on their part. They have apologized for it. But what do you think about the network posting this, Brian? What do you think about the official network posting this?
The official network actually posted the spoiler, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
That is dumb. But, I mean, it is. It's just dumb. It's that soon. Even, you know, maybe a day or two later, okay. Still, I wouldn't do it. But here's my thing. I think this is the people that are upset that were spoiled by this, it's your own damn fault.
Mm. Brian's causing a riot.
I mean, they shouldn't have done it. I totally agree. I think it's a stupid move. However, the day of the finale, the night, it's being aired at some, you know, it's being aired 3 hours ahead of you. So why are you going onto their website? Why are you going onto social media at all? If you think there is, you can accidentally come across information that would spoil this mid-season finale or any season finale or just the fourth episode in any show that you like.
Now, see, I understand if you're going specifically to that website or to that Facebook page. Okay, maybe. But if you're a fan of that page, and they have like 32 million fans, so it's not like they only got a couple. And if you have them, if you like them, if you've been on their page anytime recently, they're going to pop up in your newsfeed. You don't have a choice. That's not their fault. Well,
especially if you comment on it. If you comment on that page, Facebook now will be like, oh, so-and-so commented on this. So if you're friends with somebody that commented on that picture,
it'll pop up.
You might see it on their feed. I think that's the bigger problem. If you're going...
Yeah, now, if that's the case, right, you turn it up to see who's, you know, taking a kid to the grocery store or whatever. And,
right.
And all of a sudden you get an update from the web, you know, from the show itself, and you see it in your timeline, like, oh, hey, tell us what you guys think about, you know, Daryl being eaten alive. Then okay, well, fine.
What do you think should happen in that instance? Do you think it's fair? Well, I realize that people are going with, there's a lot of people going with the argument, well, it's your fault for being on social media. I don't think people should have to turn off the internet because they're a fan of a show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I absolutely agree that if you're going to the page, if you're going to their website the day it airs, well, that's your own fault because there's a good chance someone is going to spoil something. But if you're just doing your normal everyday, you shouldn't have to not go on Facebook.
But you also should not expect, like you say, they've got 32 million fans. Let's say 2/3 of those are watching it before the other third does.
Mm-hmm.
You can't expect those 22 million to not interact.
Yeah, I can't. And I think this is where I headbutt with some people. I wish that there was a way that somehow we as a collective species could come together, and while we're curing cancer and Ebola and poverty, let's talk about spoilers, shall we? And let's, as a group, decide what are the statutes of limitations when it comes to things like this. I think that I can only speak for me. When I watch a show, like I just watched Sons of Anarchy, the most recent episode before coming on here. Sure, I could have jumped online and I could have posted everything that happened and I could sit here and say, I'm okay for doing it. It's my freedom of speech. But as a person who enjoys stories and enjoys surprise, I could never do that to someone else because I've had it done to me and it always infuriates me. Unfortunately, there really is no commonly kind of agreed upon amount of time that we're not going to openly talk about sorts of things. And I think that's why we're always going to have this problem.
I stopped following a movie TV news website because every Friday they would say, our interview with John Smith.
The recently ousted.
Yeah, obviously this guy, you're doing a new interview with this guy. Obviously he's the one that just got voted off the island. So, you watch it later with whoever or whatever. You kind of catch up on your DVR and you go, oh, yeah, looks like this guy's going, oh, sure enough, that was him. And after a while, I'm like, you know, fuck this. I'm tired of getting this ruined by a headline. I just quit following him. And I think it's just one of those things you've got to do. You've got to take the responsibility yourself to avoid those types of things. Just like how we're just talking about avoiding trailers and we don't want to spoil, you know, too much spoiled for us. I mean, right now we've already got the actual shots of the Vision for the new Avengers movie coming out. You know, they keep releasing all this little stuff and you're taking away a good portion of the fun of watching whatever show or movie that you like, because it's a lot of that is the surprises.
It's an insatiable need to know. Insatiable need to know.
Well, let me ask you guys this. Why? I understand why they do it, but we've got them at different time slots. I understand they all have to be at like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if this is that big of a deal, have them all at the same time. I mean, I know that it's like sacrilegious to compare a TV show like this to sports, but sports games are played at the same time every Sunday night. You know what I mean?
It's true.
Nobody's DVR or nobody's getting that game an hour later and then posting on Facebook, oh, did you see that touchdown or whatever? You know,
well,
spoiler!
To be fair, if you're on the West Coast, I mean, a lot of people would still be at work at 3 o'clock where they wouldn't be at...
The show's at 8 o'clock.
If it's on at 8 o'clock, that's 6 o'clock on the West Coast.
Right. So
a lot of people are coming home from work. They're not home yet. That's why.
Okay. So they can
West Coasters get home earlier.
They do with football. I mean, some people are die.
Well, just that's a live event. That can't be. I mean, I guess you could delay the feed, but yeah. You can't. That's the only way you can do it. This is a scripted drama. It's already done. I get why they do it.
Aren't the Olympics shown at different times? I mean, like,
I don't know. I don't watch that shit.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you usually see them going on through the day, you know, various different channels. And then at night from like in prime time from 8 to 10 or 11, you'll see.
I know there was a big controversy about the news feed showing winners of competitions that had been held earlier that day. But since it was over in another country, when you woke up and you just happened to start watching – you what's showing at your time period, suddenly you're getting results from events you hadn't had a chance to watch yet because you were sleeping, but now all of a sudden, well, you know who got gold and silver. And it's a very difficult line for all of these companies and we as, you know, a society to kind of walk regarding how much information to let go and when. But it's, I think with AMC, I think this is the first time they've ever done it.
Mm-hmm. It is.
The show has been going on for, 5 years now? It's not like they made a habit of this. It was a one-time thing. Be angry. I get it. But then, unfortunately, you have to move on because you can't hate the network for doing it once.
And let me ask you real quick. Let's go around. What are you guys' personal, like, spoiler rules? I mean, everybody, that's the funny part about this. If you ask, and this like creates some of the most heated discussions I've ever seen on the internet, is spoilers. Every single person has a different opinion about what's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, like, go first. What is your personal rule for spoilers?
Well, I always sound like, I feel like with these kind of questions, I always kind of go middle of the road. But honestly, it depends on the show. Something like Walking Dead, I watched that night, if not the next morning before I go to work or something, for that very reason, because I know people are going to be talking about it and I want to talk to people about it during the day and not be left out of the conversation. Or like, you know, we've got the thing on the whole group, mm-hmm, where we have that long discussion. I like reading that and getting everybody's impressions and that kind of thing. But something, Game of Thrones, same kind of thing. I love talking about that the next day. But some other shows that I'm okay with, like Scorpion, I don't feel like I need to be. I'm not going to be spoiled about anything. I can get caught up on that whenever I want.
Like, what's your personal rule for, this is how long, this is when I think, this is how I think spoilers are appropriate to
talk
to.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean is, like, it depends on the show.
Okay. Well, like, when do you give spoilers?
What's that?
When do you feel it's appropriate for you
to
talk about spoiler material?
I really don't. I don't do anything on social media about it if it's something that's a big deal, because I know even something that may not be that big of a deal for me might be a huge deal for somebody else. So I always kind of go on a one-on-one basis with someone when it comes to spoilers, or I find a thread that is spoiler tagged, mm-hmm, like we do on the group, or I'll say, hey, have you watched this yet? Can I talk to you about this before I start a conversation? I won't go up and be like, can you believe so-and-so had this baby or whatever. You know, it's just a common courtesy thing.
Same here. And that's my, and I will actually even stop people. I do it at work all the time. We've got a lot of people who watch shows at different, just because of their personal lives, you know, we all watch them at different schedules and stuff. And so, I know on Monday morning, there's really probably only two or three shows that I will watch live. Walking Dead is one of them. You know, Game of Thrones is another, because like you, Scott, I know that when I go to work the next day, that's what everybody's going to be talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much because, well, I want to keep up with the conversation. It's more, I know these people, and I know something will slip. And even if they're trying to be, you know, covert about it, they're not that good about it. Mm-hmm. So I want to be involved. You know, I want to not have anything ruined for me. But I'm also, I don't care if it's a movie that's 20, 25 years old. If I'm talking with somebody like, man, you know, that, oh, the Sixth Sense and, you know, and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, you know, I've heard that's a good movie and stuff. I won't talk about it.
Yep. Same here.
It's called a spoiler for a reason. Why? if something is spoiled, it's ruined. It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And why would you do that to somebody? Unless somebody gives me like multiple green lights, because I've had people who said, yeah, no, really, I don't really care. It doesn't really affect my watching. I'm like, I'm just not going to tell you about it. And they're like, really? It's okay. well, are you, you know, then I'll go through the, are you sure's and stuff. And after about four or five times, they're finally like, look, you know, either tell me or don't, but I just.
What about you, Justin? What's your personal theory?
I don't watch anything when it airs, not even Game of Thrones. If I can, I'll probably watch it later that night before I go to bed. But I've become so used to being able to time shift the things that I watch that the idea of watching it as it airs. The last show I did that with was Lost, and I haven't done it since. So I'm really careful when it comes to talking about things, especially within, you know, the first week or so that a show has aired. After that, I try not to say anything, because usually by then I've moved on to something else. But if I do say something, I try to make sure it's always later on in comments and not in the initial post that's going to pop up in my feed, because I don't want to spoil something. Because, you know, we've got DVRs and we've got DVDs, and there's people who are coming to shows years after the fact, and I would hate to inadvertently spoil them to something that really would be a delight for them to not know about going in. But and movies, I'm a little, for some reason, I'm a little more desiring to talk about early on, but usually I do that on this show, and when we do, we're always careful about spoilers. So I like following your lead and keeping that stuff to end of the show kinds of discussions.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. For TV, I always go with a year. From whenever it came out, a year later. And that doesn't mean that I'm going to, well, after a year, I'll just run around and tell you all the crazy stuff that happens. It just means that I'm not as worried about it. As in, if I accidentally let something slip, not realizing, oh, that's still a spoiler, I didn't realize it. If it's over a year, I do not feel bad about it. Because there comes a point where I will try to be as cautious as I can. I obviously don't want to ruin anything for anybody. But if we're talking about something and it's a perfectly reasonable understanding of whatever the topic is, and that happens to be a spoiler to someone because they haven't seen it yet, and it was like 5 years ago, that's not – I can't control that. I'm not going to tiptoe around everything.
But to Brian's point too, like he was talking about The Sixth Sense. You know, that's when that huge twist at the end kind of thing.
Makes the movie, yeah.
It totally makes – that's like the whole point of the movie, really. Mm-hmm. I want to do everything I can not to do it because, number one, we see a lot more movies and TV shows than your typical person, you know, this four at this table. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody can see every big movie or every big TV show. It's just,
well, they should start giving up personal time. That's what they should do. You know, all that going outside bullshit, well, stop that.
People don't
– all that jogging, fuck that noise.
Jogging is overrated.
I don't think people should have to make it a priority to enjoy that experience, though,
I agree with that.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be the number one thing in their life for them to not have that ruined for them. So I think there's something to be said about just ask a quick – make a quick ask to somebody before you mention it. Talk to them or don't post it on Facebook. Yeah,
I think we can all agree. Just have a warning if you're going to talk about it, and just try to be as respectful as you can.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got a whole other audience too that's growing up. That movie, Sixth Sense, still holds up as far as I'm concerned.
And so when someone makes a Facebook post about spoiling, don't be a dickhead and just start posting spoilers about every other movie that's come out for the past 20 years as your sarcastic reply.
Fuck you. I'm going to do that every chance I get. All right, Suicide Squad has been cast. That's right. David Ayer's Suicide Squad, which is a DC property, has been cast. Here's the list, and there's some big shoes in this. Will Smith is going to be Deadshot. Okay, I love Will Smith. Tom Hardy is going to be Rick Flag. Margot Robbie. Is it Robbie or Robbie? I think it's Robbie. Whatever.
It looks like Robbie.
She's going to be
Robbie.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Robbie. She's going to be Harley Quinn. Jai Courtney, who apparently can't pass up any properties these days. It's going to be a boomerang.
Well, apparently people just keep giving him properties.
They should really start watching some of his movies before they keep hiring him, because not good. Carla Delevingne?
Cara.
Delevingne?
Cara? I'm sorry. I'm seeing L's everywhere, man. She's going to be Enchantress. And the biggest one, the Joker, is part of this. And he's going to be played by Jared Leto.
Leto.
Tomato. Onion. Justin, what is The Suicide Squad?
Well, The Suicide Squad is a DC comic that started back in 1959 when it debuted in number 25's The Brave and the Bold. And initially, it just started off as a group of heroes out doing what they can to, you know, save the world. But it came back later on in 1987, and the incarnation that fans of comics are more familiar with, where this group has been put together under the command of a woman named Dr. Amanda Waller, who has put together a group of supervillains that are currently incarcerated. They're promised that their sentences will be commuted if they will join the squad and go off to do this mission that their government needs them to do. And of course, because it's called the Suicide Squad, it's implicit that you will more than likely die doing this mission that we're sending you on. But if you don't, we'll commute your sentence. And a part of the reasoning that this group was created, if you're talking from a meta perspective, is how can these people keep getting arrested and then keep getting out of jail again? Mm-hmm. This was kind of created to be a little bit of an explanation for some of them, why they seem to constantly be back out amongst the general populace causing chaos. Because when they get in jail, well, they get put in the Suicide Squad and manage to make their way out of it again. It's been going on for a good long while. And if you're a fan of Smallville or if you're a fan of The Arrow, in both of those TV shows, the Suicide Squad has made an appearance. But this is a movie that DC is doing, and I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm assuming that this is going in with the rest of the DC movies that they're putting out, that this will exist within the same universe.
They're talking about Jesse Eisenberg is going to pop up as Lex Luthor.
He may. That hasn't been confirmed.
I said talking about. So these are confirmed. All those actors I mentioned before, they're confirmed. Now we know exactly what it is. What do you guys think about? I mean, obviously there's a lot of big names. Will Smith, I think, is great. Deadshot's an interesting character, but Jared Leto as the Joker, you've got not only one superstar performance to follow, you've got two. You've got Jack Nicholson, who did it pretty campy but fantastic for the time, and then you've got Heath Ledger, who did it completely different but also fantastic for the time. What do you guys think about that?
Shit, he looked like the Joker in Dallas Buyers Club. I think he's off to a pretty good start.
Yeah, I'm not understanding the hate for this. I think I'm excited to see him as the Joker.
Yes. Actually, I don't think he's getting a lot of hate, honestly.
Oh, really?
No.
Leto, he's one of those guys, for me personally, I've never understood the love for him. He's one of those that people, I think they feel smarter for praising his abilities. I think he can act. I think he's a good actor. I think he's a lot of, honestly, I think he's kind of like what Johnny Depp used to be like, mm-hmm. when Johnny Depp, you know, just kind of did whatever the hell he wanted to do, mm-hmm. Before he, you know, Bruckheimer and Gore Verbinski kind of
got a hold of him,
you know, emptied him out. Yeah. You know, I appreciate, he's one of those guys I can appreciate his work, but I don't love him like a lot of people do.
I don't either. I don't think he's fantastic. I think he's good, but not fantastic.
Yeah, I've enjoyed him a lot in the films that I've seen him in, but I think what a lot of people maybe react to is, one, he never seems to make a safe choice in the roles that he takes. He seems to stick to kind of unconventional roles that maybe actors of less confidence might not take. I think the fact that he's a musician probably gets some people to liking him more than they might ordinarily, because musicians have always kind of had this mysterious kind of cultish air about them. And with him having one foot in music and one foot in acting, maybe that somehow heightens it. But, you know, he's one of those slight guys. He's good looking. He's a good actor. He makes neat choices. And he's a musician. I think all that comes together to make a fairly interesting, a much more interesting guy than, you know, your average screen star.
It will be, I would imagine his take is going to have to be unique. I can't imagine he's duplicating what the other two before him, the two main ones. I'm not talking the Batman series. I'm not skipping that altogether. Or Mark Hamill.
We're also talking about the Joker basically being a hero in this. I mean, anti-hero, but
they're villains forced to do something good, right. Which I think is what's really going to create a lot of comedic moments and interesting character moments.
Now, is the Joker part of the Suicide Squad, or he's the villain? I think he's the villain, isn't he?
I don't know. The Joker has never been in the Suicide Squad in the past. Boomerang has, Harley Quinn currently is, Rick Flag has been the leader of the Suicide Squad for years.
I think he's the villain.
He may be who they're going after. which if they are, that's I'm going to be really curious how they handle Harley Quinn, because Mr. J, she's in love.
I definitely, that's the way I understood it, was they're going after the Joker. Now, Scott, you were talking about, you know, flack and everything else. You know who's getting the most flack has been Will Smith, by what I've seen. People seem to be really angry that Will Smith is Deadshot.
Well, and again, it's a character I'm not familiar with, so I can't say
he's
without
it. Have you seen his movies lately?
It's not because I think it's because people are there. I guess there's backlash for Will Smith. You know, he used to be so popular, and now after Earth, that just ruined things for him, it seemed like. I mean, people were mad because, oh, great, Will Smith, and it's going to suck. I'm like, Will Smith's a good actor. What are you talking about?
See, I've heard a lot more hate about his kids than I have
about
him.
Yeah, Jaden, I'm fine. Hate on Jaden.
Oh, I'm on that bandwagon.
Yeah,
well, both of them.
We got a club if you want the membership card.
But I didn't realize there was a lot of hate still circling around.
That's what I've read. A lot of people are upset because Will Smith's Deadshot.
Hmm.
I don't know. Well, that's coming out. I'm looking more forward to this than I am Batman versus Superman.
Whoa.
Yep. This is more up my alley. I prefer this kind of thing than Batman versus Superman. What is that? Fighting words or something?
Son.
No, that's more like, I just don't get you.
Yeah.
This kind of thing is more interesting to me. It's Batman versus Superman feels like a whole lot of been there, done that. This seems like a different take. It seems more like a heist film almost to a degree, you know, kind of like a Guardians of the Galaxy where you've got a bunch of misfits having forced to work together. I love those kinds of movies.
What, you mean a been there, done that kind of thing?
Yeah, but it's more. I like those kind of been there, done that. I don't want another Batman Superman thing. I'm excited
because Batman
about
and Superman have never been in a movie together.
I'm gonna punch you in the face. Punch you in the face. Look, I don't need logic for my points. I just need my points. You know what? Let's go to Brian's trailer park.
Get you a dog tag, Aaron. It says owned by Scott. Welcome to Brian's trailer park. All right. Chris Pratt is back, but this time he's in the park. Jurassic Park, that is, in the new Jurassic World trailer. The park is up and running vigorously, and everything is going well until a dinosaur genetic experiment runs amok and terrorizes everybody. What'd you think about this, Aaron? I know you're a big Jurassic Park fan.
Love it.
I think much we all are. But did this one kind of do for you what Star Wars did for J-Man?
Yeah, actually. The funny thing is, I'm not a huge star. I like Star Wars a lot, but I'm not as Scott and Justin. I'm not the huge nostalgic go crazy. I'm gonna line up the night before. Jurassic Park is more up my alley. Those kind of adventure movies, Indiana Jones, those kind of movies. So the fact that you got Chris Pratt in this, yes, we've done the whole dinosaur world thing, but I like that this movie, they've got the park up and running. They've got people. They're mutating dinosaurs because mankind is an idiot and we just never know when to stop messing with nature. I was extremely excited. It seems like exactly what I want. Very excited.
How'd you feel about Chris Pratt in the trailer? He seems very
serious.
Very serious, yeah.
I think Chris Pratt's a good actor. I actually am glad he's doing that. I would actually be a little upset if he just played Star-Lord over again. That would have deterred me from enjoying it. I don't want Star-Lord in every movie. Mm-hmm. I would want him to be something different. He's very... It reminded me of, like, he's trying to be
Sam Neill
mixed with Jeff Goldblum. You know, he's just kind of got got that cool, suave Jeff Goldblum thing going on. I don't care what anybody says. Jeff Goldblum was cool in those movies.
And you think his office looks like a Jackson Pollock painting, though?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, life will
find
a way.
I'm a little bit worried about some of the, I guess, the dialogue.
Why?
There
were words?
Yeah, that's my point. Everything that he said was like, it'll do.
Oh, so he was doing Samuel Jackson as well.
Yeah, he was doing Samuel L. Jackson too.
He's doing all three of them. Hold on to your butts.
Yeah, I will agree. The dialogue looked a little cheesy, but those movies always have cheesy dialogue, so that really doesn't bother me.
Yeah, but the first one didn't come across as
exactly. Exactly.
I just said at the time when the original Jurassic Park was like 96, that it wasn't cheesy at the time to me. That was just cool.
Well, Newman was a little cheesy.
No, he was cheesy, but for me in a very good way.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't. It didn't make you cringe when he did it. It was. He was supposed to be.
Yeah. Okay.
I love that we just refer to him as Newman.
That's his name, isn't it? Newman. Does he have a real name?
He has.
I don't know what his name is.
He was his character on Seinfeld.
Yeah, we're just calling him Newman.
Yeah, just Newman. I mean, nobody knows him by that name.
No, even his own mother calls him Newman.
You know, my favorite part of this trailer, and you're gonna think I'm crazy, is the way that they handled the Jurassic Park theme with just that slight piano, way super slow.
Mm-hmm.
It just tickled my nostalgia in such a perfect way.
That sounds gross.
It really did sound naughty, Scott.
Tickled my nostalgia?
Stop saying it
again.
Let it go. What did you think, Justin? Please, before Scott says that again.
God, and don't talk about tickling anything.
side, huh? Did you wish there was a lightsaber made of like 14 different designs?
Oh, Jesus, God, yes. No, you know, the thing is, it's hard for me to accept this movie's premise because the first three movies happened. And in all of those movies, nothing good happened with dinosaurs. Nothing good. Never. Not once.
Yep.
Did anything good happen with dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah.
And
ooh.
And yet, a company puts – not only do they make a Jurassic World park and that whole stupidity, but then they decide, let's take some DNA and let's just mix it up and make a hybrid. I wonder what's going to come of this. I see it and I hear the dialogue and them talking about making this park. And part of me goes, do these fuckers not live in the same world in which the first three movies occurred? Because if you did, there's no way this dinosaur park would ever be created. And so there is a kind of logic that I can't get past, but it's a fucking movie about dinosaurs. So did I not give up logic a long time ago?
Yep.
I'm stuck in this middle ground of really wanting to see these cool dinosaurs do cool, vicious things. And thinking this makes no fucking sense. This would not happen. Never, ever. So many people have already died from dinosaurs.
But you're okay with lasers coming out of the sides of a fucking... No.
No.
Let it go.
One takes place on an Earth that supposedly is kind of like ours. One's in a galaxy far, far away and a long time ago. Don't even try and compare.
They're both fake.
I want to love it. I'm sure I will enjoy it a lot. And hopefully the movie will solve this conundrum for me and present me with a reason why someone would actually not only build this park, but then create weird hybrid strains of dinosaurs to put in it.
And create weird hybrid strains of dinosaurs at the same place where millions of people are coming to look at them.
Right.
Wouldn't you do that like on a completely separate island, like on the other side of the world?
Okay, here's what you guys need to realize.
Nothing bad would happen? Oh, wait. Yes, it would.
We are humans, and all we do is dumb stuff. And we always think we figured it out. We found it. We figured this out. We got this. Because everybody wants to go see dinosaurs. I would imagine billions would be made off that. I totally understand why a human would try to figure out a way to make that happen. Because we're stupid and we're greedy.
I would want to see them from a plane.
And I guarantee you,
very high above.
We would much rather see a dinosaur than a fucking lightsaber with lasers coming out of the
cross guards.
What's that? That's true.
Yeah, we were just busy talking and ignoring whatever you were talking about.
Right.
So, he was making a comment that he would like to see it, but from an airplane, you know, an aerial view. And I made the observation that he would probably get eaten by, you know, some pterodactyls.
Probably so.
So, all right.
When's it come out? We're 3 out of 4 are excited.
Yeah, Jurassic World comes out June 12th. So, about another 6 month wait or whatever.
Birthday present to me.
Birthday present?
Yeah. My birthday's right in that general area. Yep.
All right. Well, happy for you then.
Thanks for remembering.
Do we need to remember that? Should we write that down?
You should probably write
I don't have to remember. You like actually send out alerts.
You guys know what's crazy?
I get Amazon updates about your birthday.
It's true. Here's Aaron's wish list.
Yeah, sure.
I send it in March.
If back in the 90s, you had someone had told you that in 2015, we were going to be getting a Jurassic Park and a Star Wars movie in the same year, in 2015.
That's pretty excited. And all you need is an Indiana Jones movie, and I could probably die.
And you'll pass out.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, I put a little list together of the movies I look forward to this year. It's a staggeringly good list.
Mm-hmm.
Next year looks fantastic.
It does.
All right. Well, watch these trailers and those from recent episodes at thehollywoodoutsider.com. If there's anything you want to talk about, just let us know. Go on to facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. We've also got a group there. Join that. There's a lot of fun. And most of the time, it's spoiler-free. And if there are spoilers, we usually tell you beforehand. We do a good job of hiding them, I would say. Or at least letting you know what's about to follow.
Absolutely.
Twitter, H_Outsider. Follow us there. Tweet us there. Email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com.
Hi, folks. So we have got three films we're going to be discussing this week, all of them opening up on December 12th. That is one day before my birthday. Thank you very much. First one, Exodus, Gods and Kings. Now, this is directed by Ridley Scott. Stars Christian Bale, Joel Edgerton, and Ben Kingsley. The defiant leader Moses rises up against the Egyptian pharaoh Ramses, setting 600,000 slaves on a monumental journey of escape from Egypt and its terrifying cycle of deadly plagues. Now, this is a nice little sword and sandal picture, which that might come up a little bit later. And for the first time, it's a biblical movie that actually is drawing me into a theater. Aaron, is it drawing you in?
No. I really have very little interest in this. And I like Christian Bale. I like Joel Edgerton. I don't care. Moses is a great story. It really is. Whether you believe it or you just take it as a story, no matter which way, it's a very interesting story. And it's, I think, can be well told. It's just everything about this looks like it's trying too hard, I guess. And I still don't like that there's no Egyptians in the Egyptian movie.
I kind of feel the same way, and I'm not worried about the Egyptians. I'm used to that by now. Everybody has a British accent in every other period piece. So.
This is true, yeah.
But I will say that the visuals are looking better and better the more I see these trailers.
It looks pretty. Yeah.
It does look cool. I feel like I'm going to be disappointed if I go see it. I hope I'm wrong, but
I'm worried it's going to be another Noah, which is a Hollywood version of a Bible tale.
Yeah, but isn't that like a big extreme? That's a...
Well, Noah was insane. Yeah, yeah. It was absolutely insane. If they stick to the story, I guess it's a little better, but...
I'm torn on this because I look at the visuals and I'm going, wow, this is some of the best just visually, you know, shot scenes and everything that I've seen in a long time. And y'all know me, I'm very shallow. I love mm-hmm. pretty pictures, but Christian Bale is distracting his dress, his styling is a little too modern for me to believe that mm-hmm. he's in ancient Egypt. I mean, you've got an Australian playing mm-hmm. Egyptians. You've got, you know, Brits and you've got Americans. You've got Sigourney Weaver in there. Golly, this just seems bad. I hate to say it. It's as staggeringly wonderful as just about every one of these main characters are. Ensemble of all of them just seems like a bad mix. And it scares me. Oh, God, I'm so torn on this because on one hand, I really want to see this. On the other hand, I want to run as far away from it as I can.
And I can't remember the last time a Ridley Scott movie moved me. And I know he's a visual director, but like Prometheus was good. I mean, until it went crazy at the end, it was fairly good. His movies always look pretty, but I feel like there's no depth to them lately. Like the last several years, they just haven't.
Like if he and Christopher Nolan could team up.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yep.
Yep. Mm.
I see that. What about you, Justin? You want to see it? Because I know you're big into Bible tales.
I don't know what kind of rabbit hole I fell down where I've ended up in a world where of the three of us talking about a biblically based movie, I'm the only motherfucker that actually wants to see it. Normally, I'm the one.
And just so you know, there's four of us.
Yeah, just so you know, there are four.
I'm still here, Justin.
Did I say three?
You haven't got rid of me yet.
That's right. I'm sorry. I guess I was not including myself because the three of you. I really want to see it. Ridley Scott, he's one of those directors that he's so hit and miss. But yet when he hits, he really hits home for me. Whether it's Legend, Black Rain, Thelma and Louise, Gladiator, Black Hawk Down, Kingdom of Heaven, when he really hits that nail on the head, he's one of the best directors on the planet. Unfortunately, he just doesn't do it nearly as often as I would like. But based on his track record, I am still more than willing to give a movie he does, especially like this, a chance. But I think the reason that I'm not as frustrated or angry or whatever you might call it about the casting choices made is because I think I see this movie as an extension or a continuation of the kind of epic Bible movies or period pieces Hollywood used to do. I kind of put this in the same category that I would Elizabeth Taylor's Cleopatra
or Ben-Hur,
Spartacus, or Ben-Hur. You know, those movies were, again, they're just like this. They were filled with American and English actors playing characters of, you know, far different race and creed. Back then, maybe people were too uncultured to see that as bad, whereas we kind of see it now. But even still, that doesn't bother me. The trailers have really, really blown me away. I of the three films, this one easily is the one I'm most anxious to see.
All right.
That's really odd. Next up, we have got Top 5. Now, this was written and directed by Chris Rock. It stars Adam Sandler, Rosario Dawson, and Kevin Hart. A comedian tries to make it as a serious actor when his reality TV star fiancé talks him into broadcasting their wedding on her TV show. If this was a TV show, I would shit on it from a very great height, but it's a movie I'm hoping that will be spoofing that kind of thing. So, Scotty, what say you? Are you ready to watch this one?
No. I really like Chris. I really like Chris Rock a lot, especially the fact that he wrote, directed, and is acting in this movie. I actually like the way that he carries himself, not just even on stage, but Aaron actually posted a really interesting interview that he
recently. Yeah, it was a really in-depth interview.
Really in-depth interview. It was so interesting, and just the way that I didn't actually watch the interview, but I read the transcript, and it was just, he's so interesting. This movie, though, just the story doesn't do anything for me. The humor is just not my kind of humor. The scene they keep showing in every trailer is that one with is it Cedric the Entertainer? Asking if he can steal the hangers from his hotel room. That's your go-to funny line. They're attached. I can't have the hangers.
Was that your Cedric the Entertainer voice?
Yeah, it was really not good.
This is my best. This is the best I could do.
It's a little racist.
It sounds like you were doing Mammy.
It's doing what?
It's racist. Continue.
Yeah.
Okay. That wasn't funny to me. The trailer didn't do a whole lot for me. I don't.
Justin's joke or the trailer?
Iconic was wondering the same thing.
Both.
I love Chris Rock, so I'm there. I'm there opening day. That's honestly, I would much rather see that than Exodus.
Yep. You can have it.
All right. I'll take it. I will take it.
Well, like Scott said, it does have Cedric the Entertainer. It's got J.B. Smoove, Jerry Seinfeld, Whoopi Goldberg's in it, Gabrielle Union, I enjoy quite a bit, Tracy Morgan. It's got a really talented cast going into it. It's not a movie I would want to see in theaters, but it's definitely a movie that I would check out once it hit, VOD, especially with Kevin Hart. He has yet to... I think I've yet to watch anything he's been a part of that I didn't think was really, really funny.
Yeah, he gets a lot of flack, and I don't see why, but okay.
I think it's because he's incredibly successful, and it seemed like he kind of came out of the blue for a lot of people, and that combines to just create instant hate. I don't know him, and he's rich. Fuck him.
I thought he looked great in the Star Wars trailer.
Was he in last film. One before that shit gets started. Inherent Vice, written and directed by Paul Thomas Anderson. This is the good one, not the Resident Evil Paul Thomas Anderson.
That took me a minute.
Stars Jenna Malone, Reese Witherspoon, and Josh Brolin. In 1970, drug-fueled Los Angeles detective Larry Doc Sportello investigates the disappearance of a former girlfriend. Now, Brian, so far you have sounded less than enthused about anything we've had to talk about. Is this one going to lift up your skirt a little bit, or are you just going to be down on this one too?
I kind of want to see it. I did actually talk this one up a few weeks back. It's got just a fantastic cast in it. I mean, you talk about ensemble casts. I mean, you've got Benicio del Toro, you've got Owen Wilson, Maya Rudolph, Josh Brolin, Reese Witherspoon. Yep. I mean, yeah, exactly. Even the great Eric Roberts. This is one that appeals to me. Don't know if I'll rush out to the theater to see it. It's probably something I would likely wait for, for video on demand or cable.
Yeah, I'm so torn on this movie. It looks really well acted and everything, but there's something about this kind of movie that the vibe I get from this trailer just makes me, for lack of a better word, feel icky. It does. It just feels grimy,
dirty and grimy.
Dirty. You know what I mean? Like crime
and
films.
It's 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So,
is it really? That's a whole lot of fucking quirk.
It's like 150 minutes. I mean, mm-hmm. 120. Yeah. Okay, 2.5 hours.
Look at the big brain on Brian.
I had to take my shoes off to finish counting.
I don't know. I prefer crime movies or this kind of movies where the character is cool and likable. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Joaquin Phoenix, there's just nothing about his demeanor or his presence that just makes me want to watch him for 2.5 hours.
I would just call it Quirk the movie. That's what it's quirky.
It's such a weird trailer, isn't it?
It just doesn't do anything. I don't like Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah.
He's just I don't. Boogie Nights, I like Boogie Nights. That's it. It's pretty much it. So I don't like people. He's one of those directors. He's like Wes Anderson?
Mm-hmm.
He's just trying to be quirky. He's mm-hmm. trying really hard to be, oh, look how different and unique I am.
He's not trying as hard.
He's just not trying as hard. Exactly. He's not trying as hard. But it just doesn't speak to me at all. I would much rather go see Chris Rock and laugh my ass off.
You didn't like that?
There will be.
I didn't like
there
what?
Will be blood was.
No, it wasn't. It was just a masterpiece of massacre, self inflicted pain.
It was heavy. It wasn't exactly the fun hit of the summer, but you know,
it was just a whole lot of I am acting. That's what
you didn't
that
like
was.
Punch Drunk Love.
That was okay. That one was all right.
Oh, I say there's two.
All right, two. Yeah. I didn't love it. I just said it was okay. Oh, Adam Sandler was actually good in it.
For me, Magnolia is still, my favorite Paul Thomas Anderson movie. I think I mentioned this when we first saw the trailer. To me, this looks like it was directed more by the Coen brothers than it does Paul Thomas Anderson. To me, it's got their kind of, I don't want to call them zany because I think they're a little bit too smart for that word, but it's got that, as you said, Aaron, quirk aspect that a lot of good Coen brothers movies have, whether you're talking about The Lady Killers or so many other, you know, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou. It looks great. And of the three films, well, Exodus is definitely the film I'm most desiring to see. I really want to see Inherent Vice, but most likely it will be when it's available for, again, video on demand. But I still really do want to see it. What about you guys? Which one of these three films, Exodus, Top 5, and Inherent Vice, are you most likely to run out to a theater and check out? Or are you just going to stay at home and shop on Amazon for me and send me wonderful gifts? Brian?
I'm a sucker for pretty pictures, so I'm going to go see Exodus.
All right. Aaron?
I will see Exodus also, but Top 5 I'm going to first. And Inherent Vice I just won't see.
So then Top 5. All right. Mm-hmm. And Scotty?
I'll also go with Exodus for the same reason with Brian, just the pretty pictures.
There you go.
All right.
Exodus it is.
Well, box office. Last weekend, we had Jennifer Lawrence prove that she's still amazing by holding number 2 over the holiday weekend with $56.9 million. Mockingjay now has over $230 million total.
Damn!
But it's down from Catching Fire by like $50 million. So I don't think anybody's crying about it, but I'm sure that part one puts people off a little bit. A lot of people wait to see the next one. To
They'll
see
probably
it when it's
wait, watch it on video the day before they go see part two.
Yep. Audiences gave Penguins of Madagascar the bird, as the movie only managed $25.4 million for a $35 million total. That's really not good. Big Heroes.
Really?
Yeah, no. That's for opening weekend of a kid's movie, that's pretty bad.
Damn, the day when $25 million is a shitty opening, that's a dark day.
Jason Statham would kill for that kind of money.
No shit.
Literally, he would go kill people for that kind of money. Big Hero 6 is in week 4 and is still a Marvel, holding number 3 with $18.8 million for a $167 million total. Interstellar actually increased it from the previous weekend to $15.7 million for over $150 million total in the U.S. It's huge overseas. It's I think it's crossed $400 million worldwide already.
Wow.
And Horrible Bosses 2 got fired. It only managed $15.4 million. For a $23 million total.
That will make
it. They really advertised the fuck out of this movie.
Well, who thought a rated R movie over Thanksgiving was a good idea?
Yeah.
Seriously.
That'll make a lot of money on DVD, Blu-ray sales.
It probably will.
Seriously.
Seriously.
Seriously?
Seriously.
For real.
Yeah. For sure.
God, seriously?
Absolutely, positively.
So gross.
What's this movie?
What's this movie? Each week we play ours where a listener suggests a clip from a movie, and if you think you know what the clip is, email us feedback at thehollywoodoutsider.com, and next week we'll give you a proper ho shout out.
From Leprechaun.
What?
I was trying to guess it.
Oh, you're wrong. From two weeks ago, this it was Brian's answer, and it was Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man. Classic. Classic.
Film. Never saw it.
Oh, you gotta, gotta watch it. Good times. Oh. Good times.
Brian just sounded like I just shot him.
Like you shot him and his dog. Those that got it correct. Ryan Schuerman, Inga Kolsted, who also said, keep up the great job, guys, from Norway. Well, thank you for listening from abroad. John Davenport, Steve Peterson, and Stephen White. So thank
you. Why you call her abroad?
From
abroad. She's a woman.
From abroad. Abroad. Not from abroad. Abroad.
Okay.
You sexist son of a bitch. All right. This week it is Justin's turn. If you think you know what this is, it's Justin. We don't give a shit. Email us at feedback at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Here's your clip.
What is steel compared to the hand that wields it? Look at the strength of your body, the desire in your heart. I gave you this. Such a waste. Contemplate this on the tree of woe. Crucify him.
All right, now let's go to reviews. We've only got one movie to review this week, and that's Horrible Bosses 2. I'm the only one that saw it. That stars Jason Bateman, Jason Sudeikis, and Charlie Day. They all return as Nick, Kurt, and Dale, and they have invented the shower buddy. Yes, apparently they banded together to become their own bosses for this movie. They end up selling about 100,000 units to a shady businessman played by Christoph Waltz, who in turn double-crosses them, and if they don't recoup their money ASAP, they all three end up bankrupt. They decide to kidnap Wallace's son, played by Star Trek's Chris Pine, who's fucking hysterical, and ransom him off. That's basically their plan, because apparently their solution to every work problem is some kind of illegal activity. You gotta admire it. I mean, you know, the Americanism. Once they do, Pine actually double-crosses them, and before you know it, things get crazy and out of control, just like in the last movie. You also get a few of the return players. You get Kevin Spacey comes back. Jennifer Aniston is all sexed up and back. Kevin Spacey spends the whole time he's in the movie in jail. So they're constantly going to him for advice, and they're the reason he's in jail. So it's actually some of the funny. It's pretty funny. And Jamie Foxx comes back as Motherfucker Jones. And, I mean, he seems to love playing his part, by the way. He's having a blast the entire movie. He has a blast. I didn't like the first film. I think most people would assume, because I went and saw the second, I liked the first. I didn't. I didn't think it was that funny. There's a few funny scenes. I thought Colin Farrell? Is that who it was?
Oh, he was great.
He was hysterical. But the movie itself was just kind of, eh.
Get rid of Large Marge.
So I had, yeah, that's right. So I had really no interest in seeing this, but I went anyway. I laughed the entire movie. This is one of those sequels that is so much funnier than the first movie. Honestly, the second movie makes me want a third movie. It was that good. I think that's mostly because this entire movie is a little different in structure, and the three guys are always together. You know, in that first movie, you've got a lot of them in the scenes alone, you know, with their bosses and stuff. This one, they're always together. And together, they are funny as shit, and they are idiots. Like, every single thing they do is so dumb and wrong and stupid that it's hysterical. They even have one funny part in the movie that they're actually... They have this huge plan mapped out and what they're going to do. And in their heads, it's a fantastic plan in the way that they play it out in the heads. And then they start doing it, and they don't do any of it correct. Just like none of it. It's great. Spacey, Aniston, and Waltz I thought were good. But really, Jamie Foxx and Chris Pine were the ones that were hysterical. Chris Pine surprised me. I never thought he was this funny. Just hysterical. So if $10 is full price for admission, I give it $7. It's really one of the few comedies I really liked this year. I definitely recommend it.
I thought he was pretty funny in This Is War.
Yeah, I was going to say that too.
Yeah, but see, that wasn't really a comedy. That was more like, you know, a couple jokes here and there. I mean, he's outright funny as shit in this movie. Like some of the stuff he does, I'm like, wow, I give you credit, man, because it's not stuff you see a typical GQ, I want to be an action dramatic actor doing. So it's pretty funny. DVD and Blu-ray, Scott.
We're looking at releases for December 9th. First off, Guardians of the Galaxy. If this is the first time you've listened to this podcast and you want to hear us talk about it, just go back any episode since the movie was released and you can hear us talk about the plot and how we thought about it and compare it to everything.
There's even a spoiler cast.
There is a spoiler cast, just centered all the way around it. But we did actually talk about it specifically on episode 152 where Aaron gave it a 9 out of 10 and Scott... I'm talking to myself in the third person. Scotty gonna do. Gave it a 10. Justin and Brian also gave it a 10 as well.
Jesus, calm down.
Dolphin Tale 2. A team of people.
Dolphins unite.
Can they just call it Dolphin Tales? the team of people who save Winter's life.
Not if
life
you saw it, no, because he's missing one.
Reassemble in the wake of her surrogate mother's passing in order to find her a companion.
Aww.
So she can remain at the Clearwater Marine Hospital.
Aww.
Aaron reviewed this on episode 158, where he gave it a $5.
So disappointed. It could have been so much better.
And next up is Dead Snow 2, which previously was on video on demand. We actually talked about this, but I love the synopsis so much that I'm going to read it again because I think it's fantastic, and I really kind of want to see this movie just on the synopsis alone. If the worst day of your life consisted of accidentally killing your girlfriend with an axe, chainsawing your own arm off, and watching in horror as your closest friends were devoured by a zombified Nazi battalion, you'll have to assume that things couldn't get much worse. In Martin's case, that was only the beginning.
Love it.
That's a great synopsis.
Love it.
For TV, we've got the 8th season of Doctor Who, as well as the 2nd season of Under the Dome. We've also got 2 films for video on demand. The first is Revenge of the Green Dragon. This is released on December 9th, and it's about 2 best friends who rise through the ranks of New York's Chinese underworld in the 1980s. And secondly...
Does anybody glow in this movie?
I don't know.
I hope so.
And they shouldn't fucking call anything about a dragon.
Yep.
I thought this was like some sort of a Hobbit spinoff. Wasn't that the song they sing in the bar in the second Lord of the Rings movie where they're dancing on the table and singing about getting drunk at the Green Dragon or something like that?
I don't remember.
Maybe I've watched the movie better than
yeah. Brian's movie's actually like
that's
that.
That's awesome. That's
pretty good. Let's make that happen, right?
They got bar songs. I don't remember that.
And lastly, for video on demand, we've got The Captive, which is released on December 16th, 8 years after the disappearance of Cassandra. Some disturbing incidents seem to indicate that she's still alive. Police, parents, and Cassandra herself will try to unravel the mystery of her disappearance. This one stars Ryan Reynolds and Rosario Dawson, amongst others.
So the kid that might have been kidnapped is a part of the kidnapping? I'm confused by that synopsis. No, I have to see it, Scott, just so I understand what the hell you're talking about.
No, she disappeared. Apparently she reappeared, and she and everybody else are trying to figure out why she disappeared. So she's apparently lost her...
Okay, all right. I understand.
Is this where you want me to mention Tusk or just save it?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. You did just see Tusk. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I watched Tusk. It's available on iTunes. It may be available through other video on demand services. I don't know. Didn't check them out. But this is Kevin Smith's latest film. Stars Justin Long, Michael Parks, Haley Joel Osment, and I believe her name is Genesis Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm. She was great.
I got to say, there are only 2 words really describe this movie, and that is fucked up. I mean, in going into it, I knew exactly what this movie was going to be about, and it still managed to make me go, what the fuck are they doing? I think it's Kevin Smith's best directorial effort. The way the camera moves, the way it shifts around, the character work, the way it could sit still and then move. It seems to be a much more confident director on display in this movie than we've seen in his earlier work.
He actually creates atmosphere, which...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. This is a horror movie more than anything. And I think it's even more horrific than Red State was. And given where he came from, it's surprising to me that he's gone from that kind of simple comedic movie guy to now a really kind of a complex horror director. And there's even a role, I'm not going to spoil, who plays Guy LaPointe, but it's really funny. And when he comes on the screen, the movie got a little bit better for me. All in all, I thought, you know, $1 out of $10, it's a solid 8. I really love the quirkiness. I love that they didn't pull any punches whatsoever. And it's interesting when you go back and listen to, as I did, the podcast where they first formulated the idea for this movie, to hear that after seeing what they actually came up with in the film itself was so interesting, to be able to put those two things side by side. I thoroughly enjoyed it. If you want to watch a movie that's going to leave you with a real big sense of what in the hell am I watching, Tusk is a good one to pick.
All right. From the outside in, Swords and Sandal films. I mean, we were talking about Exodus earlier, but this is a genre that's been around for a while. And I guess I got to ask, what is the appeal? Because it's really a bunch of sweaty men attacking other sweaty men. What is the appeal of this genre, Justin?
I think it depends really on the film itself. If we're talking about a sword and sandal movie that covers, you know, true, and when I say true, I am using some air quotes, true history. I think what these films do is, so often history can be dry and boring and something that you just kind of put up with in school until you get to a subject you're more interested in. But these movies can take something that would ordinarily not be all that interesting and suddenly add life and breath to it. And instead of just reading about these people who it seemed like they all just walked around in togas and sandals, and give them actual life and complexity and breathe life into something that was so long ago. And I enjoy being able to look back on that world through the safety of my television. But if you're talking about these films as they relate more to religious or mythological events, I can't really say what it is that makes them so interesting, because I don't know, even though I have quite often found them to be so fun and enjoyable to watch, but I don't know how to really word it.
I think it kind of goes back to the time period itself. I mean, with most of these sword and sandal movies, it's a time where violence was a big deal in terms of entertainment. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. People would go to these arenas and watch people slaughter each other just for fun. Like, we go to a football game.
I wish we still had that, kind of.
Really?
Fuck yeah. You don't think that would be fantastic to watch a bunch of people slaughtering each other in the Thunderdome or something?
No.
Have real lions versus the Detroit Lions?
Oh, that would be
so comes out.
Oh, good.
So I think there's part of that mentality is still with us, but now we can actually see that kind of stuff happen without anybody actually getting harmed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, now you're making
hopefully
it
one for. Person got harmed.
At least one. Yeah. Hopefully.
A twisted ankle or something.
Do you think it has – I mean, it seems to me like, you know, I kind of got it in the old days, like the 50s and 60s, because back then that was a cost-effective way to show scope and scale. Mm-hmm. You could do a big, huge film, or what seemed like a huge epic film, for a lot cheaper than any other kind of movie. You know, you didn't have a lot of special effects, so you couldn't do space operas at that time. So you did these big, like, arena films like you're talking about, or just those kind of movies. Nowadays, you know, I guess I don't see as much appeal for it. So why do they still make them? Because I don't think they're making as much money as they used to, except right. for like when you have the novelty, like 300.
I was going to say, they got to put some kind of weird filter on it mm-hmm. to make it more attractive.
Brian, you're a big fan of these. What do you think?
Yeah, to me, it's almost like the Western in a way. It's still a popular genre. It's just kind of hard. It's getting tougher and tougher to do them well. There's a lot of times, depending on, I mean, unless you're going with something where you have a Hercules fighting a Hydra or something like that, then, you know, okay. Yeah. You're going to need a lot of special effects, but outside of doing large crowds in a giant Colosseum, you really don't need very many special effects. Maybe it's something where a lot of these times it's like, say, it's one hero versus a group of other gladiators or maybe some monster or something, but it's like one guy, he doesn't have a an Apache helicopter. He's not driving a tank. He doesn't have a rocket launcher. I mean, it's just one guy with maybe a sword and some, I don't know, some leopard skin shorts or something. And that's about it. So maybe there's something, maybe it's got to do with our, you know, our love for one man against the odds, and it doesn't get much more bare bones than that.
Well, to me personally, it's kind of one of those genres. It's like World War II. We've talked about that before, how World War II is one of those genres where it feels like it's been done to death. What more could there possibly be? And granted, there are a few exceptions, but overall, there's not much more story to tell, in my opinion. So are we over these yet? I mean, are there still a lot of plots that they could cycle through?
No. they're it's just about capped off. I mean, we've covered all the, basically all the mythological stuff. You know, short of, you know, digging deeply into some of the history books, you might find something where there's some story about, you know, a small group against a large group again, but then it's still going to feel like 300. I mean, if you do a Gladiator movie, it's going to feel like Spartacus or Gladiator. It, you know, anything that you do at this point, unless you do some sort of mashup thing where you've got, I don't know, maybe a handful of Greeks on a mission going somewhere, and then they come across some zombies who were transported,
the Argonauts.
transported through a some sort of portal in a cave that takes them to a, you know, a Western or something. I don't know.
That so, Army of Darkness.
There you go. And now you're comparing it to that. So I can't even come up with some random shit that just that's its own unique idea. So yeah, it's, you know, is it impossible? No. I mean, there's some brilliant creative people. It's just a matter of getting the right material to the right people at the right time.
You know, for me, the best, my favorite sword and sandal movie would probably be Gladiator.
Same here.
I think the combination of Russell Crowe and Ridley Scott really, and Joaquin Phoenix came together and made just an amazing film about a character that I really knew, didn't even know existed, had no knowledge of. And so this movie came along, and sure, it's a piece of Hollywood fiction, but it does still pass along some information that I probably wouldn't have known otherwise. And I think that there are many other historical figures that they could tell the story of that would be qualified as a sword and sandal movie, and it would still be interesting. I think we run into trouble when they just when they start looking the same. You know, when he had Troy following up, so after Gladiator, Troy just seemed like a bad knockoff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got Hercules coming out not that long after, say, 300 and Rise of an Empire. If too many come out too quickly, yeah, they all start blending together. We all get collectively tired of it, and then we move on. But if we can get some space between them, then I think there's still a lot of story, a lot of character, a lot of history that can be added to it. But if you take the sword and sandal motif and you put it into a world not our own, then I think you really broaden the scope of things and can tell some really interesting story. I mean, I don't know. Do the Middle Earth movies count as sword and sandal, or is that more fantasy? I don't know.
No, it's more fantasy. That's fantasy. Yeah, it's fantasy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they do have swords and they do have sandals, but
right,
that's fantasy.
Not a lot of sand, though. And you need sand.
It's required. It's required. Okay, well, in keeping with the conversation, how would you guys like to see this genre livened up if you could? Is there anything really you want to see from these movies that you feel like you haven't already?
Yeah, put them in space.
That is probably not going to be a sword and sandal movie.
Make it a sword and sandal movie. Put them in space.
That's what you want to see.
Yeah,
like having John Carter.
There you go. There you
have
go.
An arena in space.
No, I think for me, what would get
a
me
chariot
more...
race in space.
Oh, now you're speaking my language.
You just get like a little dome for oxygen over the chariot, and then whoosh, there you go.
Isn't that what the pod race was?
Yeah, there you go.
Kinda, yeah. I think if you want to get me more interested in this type of movie is make a little bit more interesting story that doesn't have to be all about violence and sex, which I think like things, and don't get me wrong, I like violence and sex.
I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
You just, wow, walk off into La La Land.
I like violence with my sex.
And a little sex with my violence, if you know, we're going to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a matter of what, you know, it's what the order. Ratio. It's all about the ratio. Exactly.
That's right.
I just think that there could be a lot more interesting stories told in that time period other than the grim and stoic and yelling and war and all this kind of stuff. There's a lot of other things going on other than war. You know, we've got all kinds of stories in Westerns that don't revolve around shootouts and draw and all this kind of stuff. You know, why is Sword and Sandal movies always about war?
I agree with you. I would like them to be more, not necessarily political, but have like a political tinge. You know, sure. Kind of like how Game of Thrones does it on that show, where it's, yes, there are actions happening, but really it's more about the words and the dialogue and the chess piece. You know, you're moving your pawns around and it's all about checkmate. Mm-hmm. I like those kind of, I would love to see more of those as opposed to another guy taking on the tiger in the middle of the Colosseum or, you know, I'm going to overthrow Rome by killing one guy. Right. I never understood the logic.
I'm going to run from a volcano.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever the Pompeii god.
Jon Snow, you know I'll run volcano.
I finally saw that, by the way. That is not a good movie. That's not good. That's what
I mean, to your point, you could do one about the, let's say, the birth of democracy in Athens.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's interesting.
You know, and you could, there's a guy that's actually very pivotal in that, Alcibiades. And he is this, like, although this is before that time, so it's kind of weird using this term, but he was basically a Renaissance man of, you know, many talents and skills and stuff. And he jumped around from both sides playing everybody, just, you know, he was a flip flopper, but an opportunist but a lot smarter than everybody else around him. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, everybody kind of realized that after a while and didn't work out too well for him, but it's a fascinating story. And you could, and you're right. There is violence involved and there is, you know, wars going and this and that, but it doesn't have to revolve completely around that. Mm-hmm. And, I'm burned out with the guy thrown into some prison and now he's forced to be a gladiator. I mean,
there's only so many versions of that story you can tell.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think we've about hit the limit with that for a very, very long time.
Well, I think the big difference between a Western and a Sword and Sandal movie, as we traditionally know them, is that Westerns are usually mostly about a small group of people, mm-hmm. whereas a lot of your Sword and Sandals are more your epic set pieces, where you've got this grand scope of armies fighting against other armies. And in a Western, it's usually just a small group against a small group. And so that intimacy and the more focused location and narrative, I think, works to a Western's favor. I wish there were more sword and sandal movies where you didn't have to have swords all the time, or you didn't have to have it be about armies and scope, but make it about a smaller thing, a family or a town. It doesn't have to involve vast armies. I'd like to, you know, I would like to see stories told in that span of time, but that were more about people and less about political movements.
Like the smaller communities that aren't part of necessarily just Rome, but like the smaller communities surrounding Rome.
Yeah. I mean, what's wrong with one guy wronged by another guy or something? Why does it have to be an army versus an army? Make it small, make it intimate, make it more interesting. And I would go and see that.
See, that's what I want.
Or vampires in it.
Well, you know that's coming. Or vampires in space.
Oh, you just
a chariot race.
They did
in
that.
Space. What?
That was in Starbuck. Buck Rogers.
Beady, beady, beady.
They had the whole space beady. Vampire.
Beady, beady, beady.
It's creepy.
What do our listeners think about what? We ask our listeners, and we do this on Facebook every week. So if you did not know that, every Tuesday night, usually, we put the topic on our Facebook wall. And what do our listeners think about what their favorite Swords and Sandal movies are?
Junebug Johnston says, I kind of love The Eagle. Centurion was pretty good too. I guess I like my Romans in England.
I haven't seen The Eagle.
That had Channing Tatum in it.
Oh, is it good?
I've not seen it. It didn't interest me at the time, and it kind of still doesn't. But
yeah, Channing Tatum, now I want to see it.
I don't think he does any dancing, though.
Ooh, I'm out.
Jason Taylor says, no real movie comes to mind except 300 and Gladiator. However, Rome and Spartacus TV series were both great.
I've heard a lot of good things about those.
I've heard a lot of great about Spartacus. I can't believe I haven't
Spartacus
watched it
is
yet.
300. It's just many, many more hours long.
I love 300, so maybe that's...
Yeah, okay.
It's 300 hours? Is that what you're saying?
It's just 300 with a lot more sex.
Whoa.
Oh, so, shit, man. You are selling me. Keep going.
You, my friend, are a marketing genius.
Stephen White says Kingdom of Heaven, but Gladiator is a close second.
Kingdom of Heaven, if you get the director's cut, is actually a very good movie. I didn't like Absolutely. The theatrical, but I like the director's cut.
Yeah, the extended cut
Liam
is
Neeson very... and Orlando Bloom, didn't it?
Yep.
David McGrath says Jason and the Argonauts, love it still. Rest in peace, Ray Harryhausen. Sorry.
DHA.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
D.A. Cheney says, my number one would be Spartacus overall. Film-wise, I'd say The Eagle, since it stuck out to me in recent years.
Damn it. I'm not, like, the only person who hasn't seen it, apparently.
I just told you I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I don't count you, though.
Okay.
I haven't seen it.
I said human. Well, like I said.
You know, you don't count you either, Scott. You trust
really,
me.
Brian's the only one I listen to on the show. Mostly because I'm waiting for him to fucking talk.
All four of us. Aaron twice and me twice. Josh Steima says, Spartacus for a television series, no doubt. Does Immortals count? I love that flick. It counts.
Sure, it counts. Sure. If Wrath of the Titans and Shaw that shit counts, Immortals does too. Jonathan Spear says, a little known one that I had a blast with, though, was Ironclad. Paul Giamatti, Brian Cox, Kate Mara, and a few other familiar faces show up. It's got some great battle scenes.
I did see that. That's a good movie. Yeah.
Does that have Statham in it? I just assume he's in all this shit.
He's
now.
In everything.
Yeah. Right.
Douglas Clayton says, I am Spartacus. 1960 with Kirk Douglas. Conan the Barbarian, 82 with Arnie. Jason and the Argonauts. Saturday matinees, Memory Lane.
Mm-hmm. Douglas Clayton, you're old.
Yeah. Good Lord, I wasn't saying pick one from each decade. Craig Shermerhorn says, Seven Samurai if it counts. Prince of Persia if it doesn't.
I like
Spartacus TV series and Aladdin as far as animated goes.
I like Prince of Persia a lot. I don't damn the haters.
Seven Samurai. I think that counts.
I don't want I.
It's a golly, it's an ancient period.
I'm flummoxed.
Lots
yeah,
of swords.
I know, and they're sand and their sandals.
Yeah.
It does. I guess I'm so used to classifying it in the Mediterranean that I'm being closed-minded and saying it doesn't count. Maybe because it's such a great cinematic masterpiece, it's just too good to be just call it a sword and sandals.
So if Tom Hanks in Castaway finds a sword, does that count? Because it feels like we're
he was barefoot.
It's not history. I think it has to be set in a distant historical period.
Oh, well, that was a while ago.
Otherwise, the volleyball scene in Top Gun is sword and sandal.
Fuck yes, it is. There's a lot of swords. There's a lot of sandals. Lot of swords.
Not pork swords and sandals movie.
Steve Peterson says, not a huge fan of the genre. 300 was decent. I absolutely love the God. Oh, shit. I'm not even going to start that.
There you go.
What's that?
I'm not giving Scott any kind of fuel.
For what? What is it?
He says, I absolutely love the God of War video game series. Maybe they can make a movie of that one day.
Go ahead, Scott. Go squee.
Scott Calguero says, I may get some hate for this, but I think King Arthur with Clive Owen was really good. The casting is perfect for every character.
I never saw that one either.
And it's a great historical take on the classic legend of King Arthur.
I agree. I like it.
I think
I was dissuaded by Keira Knightley's sad chest.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
You're disappointed.
Blue paint and sad chest just came together to say, no, I don't want to watch it.
It's just a washboard. I don't need to do laundry.
They're inverted. Michael Brunel says,
Grom. They're like little bowls on the chest. Little bowls.
They're for dipping nuggets.
No milk for your little with a cookie.
Finish
animals.
It up. Damn it.
Jesus. Oh, God, we're going to get some hate mail on that one.
I hope so.
Michael Brudenell says, Crom, I have never prayed to you before. I have no tongue for it. No one, not even you, will remember if we were good men or bad, why we fought or why we died. Man, I ain't reading all this stuff. Anyway, what is this,
Conan? That's a goddamn good quote. You finish that.
God damn, there's too many fucking words here. There ain't not enough pictures. Why we fought or why we died. All that matters is that two stood against many. And that's what's important. Valor pleases you, Crom. So grant me one request. Grant me revenge. And if you do not listen, then to hell with you.
Oh,
how's that?
I think your dog died.
That was good.
It was good. Yeah, it's not bad.
I mean, I was probably the only one in this group that listened to Aaron's compilation episode, and it had us doing quotes. This would have been a good one for you.
Nobody else listened to that?
I listened to it.
Oh, did you? All right. So Brian's really the only one that didn't listen to it, as usual.
Mark Shelton.
You own that shit.
Python and the Holy Grail. I don't know. Does the Holy Grail count as sword and sandal?
No, it doesn't count.
I don't remember a sword in that movie.
Too late.
I don't know.
If you would have said Life of Brian, I would have squeezed that one in there. But no.
Oh, that's what she said.
Please finish.
Tell me, Scotty. I can't.
Michael Bonovich says Gladiator for sure. Spartacus TV series was great as well. And just because he doesn't get the love he deserves, Samurai Jack the cartoon series.
Shane Owens says, if Mel Gibson had put a wood-carved sword in Jesus' hand and let him slice and dice some Pharisees, then The Passion of the Christ would make for a damn good sandal and sword flick.
Oh, Christ, the revenge.
That's awesome.
He's back and he's pissed.
That was three days after the first movie.
Anna Marie Germa says, movie Gladiator, Russell Crowe, and the creepiest Joaquin Phoenix performance ever. TV Spartacus, Blood and Sand, which was that season two or something?
That was like three or four. I don't know.
I don't know. Every one of the Spartacuses die. So if you get the, callback.
Spoiler fucking alert.
Maybe not a funny joke when one of the guys actually did die.
That was the joke.
Oh, shit. Well, that was really, really mean, man. Scott, is there any more?
We got Reese Bennett says Gladiator, absolutely. Rome was a favorite for TV, and Spartacus was entertaining.
And that's it, right?
That's it.
You know, this show would be 45 minutes long if we didn't cut each other off every 5 seconds, and if everybody would just say their shit.
And Reese, no offense, but every time I see your last name, I think, let off some steam, Bennett. From Commando. You're welcome.
Oh, I remember Commando.
Remember when I said I'd kill you last? I lied.
Remember that there is a Hollywood Outsider Facebook group for movie and TV fans, not just fans of the show. It's for anybody who likes to talk about movies. Feel free to hop on over there. Review us on iTunes, and we'll read your review on the show. There is a new one up there, but for whatever reason, iTunes is screwy, and it wouldn't pull up. So I will have it for next week. There are no emails this week, but if you are still listening, that means you're one of our devoted listeners, because it's so far into the show, I can't imagine anybody else that would still be listening. We'll be putting together one more Best of Ho compilation for the end of the year. And I thought for this one, we would like your thoughts. So if you try to remember like your favorite moment or topic from the show and email it to us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com with the subject line Best of Ho 2014, episode numbers would really be helpful because, put over like 100 hours of shows on for the last year. It's kind of hard to remember all of them. Just tell me what your favorite bits or topics were. And we'll try to put together something. I can't promise everybody's will get on there, but I'm going to try to do what I can. Do that. And we'll, if we can't find it, we will at least read what your favorite bits were, and we'll reminisce. There you go. Go to thehollywoodoutsider.com. Tweet us at @H_outsider. Facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. Or email us, like I said, feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Listen and subscribe for free on iTunes. Listen on your Stitcher Radio app. Give us a thumbs up if you do, or just through our RSS feed. That's going to do it for The Hollywood Outsider this week. But before we go, I do want Scotty Clark. You have your game charity. Want to real quick mention what that is?
Sure, absolutely. My favorite charity of all time is a charity called Child's Play Charity. And what they do basically is they provide toys and video games and movies and that kind of thing for kids that are stuck in the hospital over the holidays. And for the past few years, I've kind of put together a kind of a drive with the community to try to raise some funds for this charity. And so what I'm doing this year is I've created a what they call a widget. where you can basically donate money using PayPal. Instead of getting money directly to me, you give it directly to the site, but it gets credited to the group, basically. And I've dedicated to every dollar that comes in through that widget to this charity, I'm going to actually match personally myself up to $1,000. So hopefully I can get Aaron to drop the link into the show notes.
The link will be in the show notes, yeah.
And then check it out. And if you are feeling very given this holiday season.
Or giving.
Given, giving, taken, tooken, whatever.
If you're feeling giving this holiday season, you know, maybe help out here with this charity. I like it a lot. So.
And if you're feeling super giving, you can give me some money too. I'll take it.
I like it a lot.
I like it a lot. That's what I was thinking too. It's a very good deal, and Scott does put his own money into that. So it's not
he does, up to $1,000. So people, if you want to see Scotty, you have to spend a lot of money. All you got to do is contribute $5.
There you go.
But a bunch of you needs to do it.
And Justin, your new book is coming out. It actually is not coming out December 1st or whatever. So when's it coming out?
December 13th.
13th.
My birthday. So if you would like
to
give me a
gift. Did you do that on purpose?
If you would like to give me a gift, you buy my book.
Did you do that on purpose?
Nice. No. In fact, the first book came out on my birthday as well. So
yeah, that's not a
coincidence. I guess it's some kind of weird tradition.
What's the name of it again?
A Broken Magic. And I am really proud of this book. Yeah.
All right. Well, we also got word of a longtime listener of ours who recently suffered a loss, and I wanted to extend our condolences to you, John. I hope you and your family are doing well. And remember, guys, the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn. Can somebody lick their fingers and be done with that first? Because I still hear it.
What?
I think I was drinking my apple juice.
I'm still hearing. It sounds like this. Got
it. Get your mind on your money and your money on your mind. Oh, jeez. So gross.
Oh. That sounds like sex.
That's what sex sounds like to you?
Yeah. You're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong, man.
Okay, ready?
I'm ready.
God, fucking fuck.
It's been 168 episodes, and it's still funnier than hell.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Fucking hope you get gynorrhea.
Gynorrhea?
Yep.
Gynorrhea?
Is that where you get it in the front?
Deuteria? All right, Walking Dead. We're not going to talk too much about it because we are going to do our season 5 wrap-up in the middle of next season, whenever that is. But we did want to talk about it a little bit. So, bottom line, what did you guys think of the finale? And if you have not seen the mid-season finale, now would be a great time to turn the fucking radio off.
Radio first.
Yes. Okay. Now that's all the notice you need. What did you guys think of the ending? Beth, she dead. Was anybody taken by surprise?
She went out like a boss, though.
Did
stabbing
she?
Stabbing that bitch in the neck.
It was a dumb plan.
Beth is kind of dumb.
Yeah, she kind of
is. It was like more in her shoulder or collarbone. It wasn't even like it was in her neck.
Yeah, it was just like.
I mean, she should have shivved her a few times in the neck. Kind of like they did. Oh, shit. I almost said God, a spoiler. Whoa, backing up.
Yeah.
Back in the fuck up.
Definitely.
I actually put my hands out like to stop you.
Hey, you did. You stopped yourself, so we don't know what you're talking about. I was surprised. I wasn't surprised that she died, because I actually thought she was going to die the whole episode.
So did I.
It just because I knew they weren't going to kill Carol, and I knew somebody died, because apparently they can't stop putting fucking articles about Norman Reedus was weeping reading the finale, and da, da, da. You know, it's just like, shut up, stop telling us that characters are gonna die. I don't need to know.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, it's not gonna make me watch it or want to watch it more.
Yeah, I don't understand. It's almost like they wanted to make sure that you don't miss it.
What I did like as soon as she died, though, was how both sides that were on opposite ends of that hallway,
yeah,
just stopped.
Just absolutely stopped.
Because even the, I don't want to call them bad guys, but the ones that are living in the hospital.
The cops and stuff.
The cops and stuff are like, hey, it's all her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have just been doing what she says, and I love that aspect of it because it was like
I did too.
They
Rick was gonna shoot that place the fuck up.
Yeah, he was.
He was.
Especially with
they
his
were going wild bunch on their ass.
with his itchy as his trigger finger's been in the last few episodes. I thought he was
how
gonna
close
race.
Is he to Shane at this point?
He'd have had a car in that hallway, he'd have run him over.
Was that not like the best opening of the whole season?
Stop. Stop.
Did you guys notice when he's talking to the guy that's laying on the ground, he says the same thing that Gareth said to Bob when he was going to slit his throat at the trough? Yeah.
Oh,
I don't remember what the comment was, but it was something like too late, Bob, or something like whatever the comment was. It was something that Gareth, it was the exact same comment that Gareth said to Bob from the trough.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah. So what did you guys think overall of that ending? How do you think it's going to affect, especially Daryl?
God, I mean, who wasn't crying when he, you know, he walked out? And I'll go ahead and throw this out there. You know, I brought this, I think I texted this to you the other day there, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys were, and I don't know if it showed it because I was, you know, my tears were all. My eyes were blurry from the tears, but they, you know, Daryl, the back of Daryl's vest has got angel wings on it. So he's carrying Beth out, you know, in his arms like that. Very, you know, you kind of think of it in that aspect. It's just kind of like this, you know, sweet angelic type. I don't know. I just thought that was a neat thing, you know, kind of the, you know, he's such a rough and tough guy, but yet he's got, you know, he's such a sweetheart too.
Well, especially since they kind of came a long way. I mean, that, they didn't get along really well. They were kind of stuck together for a good portion, and they had it out quite a bit, and they had a couple moments. And
absolutely.
You kind of, for a few minutes, thought something might have been there, but and I love that they kept it, that they just really cared about each other, and then it was brutal to see his
especially
reaction.
Especially because she was really the only innocent one left. Yeah. Like, there weren't many that hadn't done something fucked up, and she was the only one left. And then she finally does something fucked up, and she gets shot in the face.
Well, she didn't have practice.
This is true.
It was her first time.
I really wanted that preacher guy to die.
Fuck him.
I'm tired of him already.
Yeah, he's awful. Awful. And the phrase is, you can't go back, Bob. The phrase is. You can't go back, Bob. At the very in the premiere of season 5, that's what Gareth says to Bob at the trough. It's the same thing that Rick says to this guy after he hits him. He says, you can't go back, Bob. Or no, when he's chasing him and he almost hits him or whatever, so... It was pretty cool. Bringing up Rick, do you guys think he's too far gone, or do you think he's on the exact right path he needs to be?
I like where he's at.
Yeah, because a lot of people hated Shane, and he's really—I mean that when I say he's really close to where Shane was.
Yeah,
but Shane's a little too eager to, you know, to do something bad.
Yeah, that was a natural state for Shane.
Yeah,
that's kind of been driven to this.
Yeah, exactly. Shane wakes up, has some orange juice, and will just, you know, take somebody out. And
fuck
just
a day
like,
up, just because.
He was going to hurt me somewhere down the road, so I'm going to, you know, take him out now. You know, and Rick, it's just, it's not like that. He you know, I think they talked about this on The Talking Dead, you know, like he'll, or one of the guests on there was like, you know, hey, Rick will give you one shot, but if you fuck up that shot, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no more playing. You know, hey, I'll give you one chance to be nice and to get along and maybe to leave or to join us, whatever the case is. But if you screw that up, next time you come around, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
He's also gotten just straight up fearless too. That scene where he was at the beginning of this episode where the cops approached him and they told him to put his gun down. He's like, all right. He's known he's got a couple snipers back behind him.
Can we mention what a stupid fucking sniper position that is?
Yeah.
Seriously, they're right out in the open.
Right behind him.
Yep. But you don't see him when the shot's
in front
of him?
You don't see him because it's strategically placed.
Yeah. They're leaning over the side or, you know, there's no
disruptive
patterns.
Hey, you guys.
Exactly. It just,
none of them are going to be starring in. You know, that upcoming sniper movie.
American Sniper.
Yeah.
No.
But I did think it was hysterical when they asked, well, how do we know whatever? And all of a sudden they shot one of the zombies. I'm sorry, the...
Walkers.
Called?
Rotters. Yeah.
Behind him. And he's like, oh, okay.
There's one of those things. This is one of those shows where as much as I have, you have to just forget all fucking logic, because they seem like a smart group until they do little things like the snipers on top of a wide open parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go and make this exchange. And apparently they come to the floor. They go to the floor that these guys are on instead of making them come to them, which I don't quite understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd think we'd meet in a separate location or something where they have an advantage, and they had zero advantage.
Or at least
and,
neutral ground.
Yeah, or something. But then, you know, then they'll have that moment with Beth, even though it's ridiculous. But goddamn, that was heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. I felt bad for Maggie.
Yeah.
Poor Maggie.
Oh, yeah. Just to be told within, you know, moments before finding her or seeing her dead sister carried out, to be told, yeah, she's alive. We found her.
Yeah, that should have been my – I was so wrapped up in the episode. That should have been the first, like, real hint that, oh, okay, she's going to die, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For me,
I was just happy she asked about her sister finally. Yeah. That's good news. Oh, shit, she's alive? I forgot I had one.
Because that's what – I mean, it. You know, you don't put anything – in a TV show unless it's going to be used. So, you know, using that logic whenever
that's true,
she says, oh, hey, we found your sister. She's alive. She's well, she's going to be, you know, okay. You're setting something up. So you're setting it up good. That means it's going to be something shitty later.
Yeah. We can't have joy in the show.
For me, the moment I knew she was gone was when she put that scalpel in her cast.
I was like,
she's done.
No, was it a scalpel or scissors?
Scissors,
was it? Yeah. Okay.
Surgical scissors.
Yeah.
Well, we do need to wrap up the show, guys. So ultimately, where do you think it's all going? Do you think they finally end up going to Washington? Because you had, was it Morgan at the very end in that tag where he finds the map that says with Rick Grimes' name saying he's going to Washington?
Mm-hmm. Mine got cut off.
You didn't see it? Well, that's basically what happens is Morgan, you know, the guy that he met.
The black guy,
yeah,
right?
The black guy.
He finds the map.
Goes in the church, finds the map, and that's where it ends. So where do you guys think it's headed? Do you think they're headed to Washington?
They kind of have to, don't they? I mean, that's...
What's in Washington at this point?
Yeah.
Well, they are.
I mean, the mullet's been lying, so...
Is that his name?
They need to go to Washington.
Eugene the mullet. Yeah. I mean, they got to do something. They got to be heading on some kind of path. They can't just walk around, you know...
Well, I think that's going to be determined in the next episode.
I'm asking you guys. Where do you think that's what they're going to do, or it's going to go another direction?
I don't know. What I'm more curious about is Morgan. Why is he all of a sudden sane? We saw him. The first time we see him, he's upset about his wife, but for the most part, he's pretty even keeled. Then we see him. He's a raving lunatic. And now we see him again. He's like this lone wanderer guy that's apparently
he and Rick are in the opposite spots now. Like the last time Rick and he met, it was Rick was going through this passive phase and this peaceful phase, and he was just, you know, going nuts and killing everything he could find. And now the roles are reversed. That's what I saw.
That's an interesting take on it. But again, I mean, that's fine, but still, what is it, you know, why is he all of a sudden calm again? You know, I don't know. I'm more curious about him. I mean, they've been teasing us all season. I'm hoping they give us more than, you know, eight episodes of him just walking with a stick and rubbing trees with X-Men symbols on them. And okay, I get it. He's catching up with, you know, for God's sakes, give me something more. But I don't know. I've got no idea where they're going, because they're just hanging outside the hospital.
Right, and in previous seasons, they've always were heading towards something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Whether it was Terminus.
No, that's a pest control.
Terminus is the pest control, yeah. or they were going to catch up with someone. They're all kind of back together at this point, right?
Yeah. They're finally back together.
There's nobody missing.
They'll split up. They have to. It's just like going in a haunted house. Well, come on, guys. Let's take the hallway, and you go upstairs, and we'll take the basement.
We should split up.
Yeah.
One last thing. When Rick grabbed that zombie? No, was it Daryl or Rick?
Daryl.
Grabbed that zombie head like a fucking bowling ball.
Bowling ball.
my God. They are getting so disgusting.
I love it.
As these zombies become more and more putrefied, their deaths are getting grosser and grosser.
Yeah.
Well, we got to wrap up and get out of here, guys. So thanks for listening. Next week, we are going to talk about the Sons of Anarchy finale after the normal show, too. So get ready for that. We're going to try to devote a whole half hour to that one because that's a series finale. So with that, thanks for listening. And remember, the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn.